Would you turn your Bible to Psalm 45? Last time we went over several messianic psalms from Psalm, first portion of chapter 2 to chapter 22. Hopefully, God willing, we will finish the rest of the psalms. So we're going to start at the Psalm 45, Jesus in Psalm 45. This psalm is a royal psalm and functions as a wedding song at the occasion of the wedding of the royal couple. In a special way, this psalm also applies to our Lord Jesus Christ, who ruled as the Son of David. So we'll start at the verse 6 of 45, please. Chapter 45, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness more than your companions. I'm sure that these two verses remind you of what you read in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 in the book of Hebrews. The author of Hebrews was quoting these two verses from this psalm to show us the divinity of Jesus. Divinity of Jesus. It is God the Father referring to God, Jesus as God. If God the Father called Jesus as God, I don't need anyone else to tell me otherwise. And some will object, how do you know that it's God the Father speaking of referring to Jesus in this book of Hebrews? I have a simple answer. Context. Remember, whenever somebody quotes a verse, you always go back and read the five verses before, five verses after. And you have to keep everything in context, otherwise you can make your own silly doctrine. All right, skip down to the chapter 68 of Psalm, please. 68. Now we see another messianic psalm, verse 17. Jesus in Psalm 68. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai. In the holy place, you have ascended on high. You have led the captivity captive, and you have received the gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Stop there, please. This verse 18 is the verse Apostle Paul used in Ephesians chapter 4. So keep your finger in Psalm and flip to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, please. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led a captivity captive and gave a gift to man. Note that portion. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower part of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Did you notice the three changes? Two of them are very slight, like a transfer of the person from the pronoun of you to he, when you compare Psalm 68 and Ephesians chapter 4, and the purely stylistic transformation of finite verb into the participle from has ascended to ascended. Nobody lose a slip over. But more important change is from received the gift among men to give gifts to men. The best explanation is that the apostle was drawing on the ancient oral tradition, reflect the Aramaic Targum on the Psalter and the Syriac the Peshitta version, both of which read, you have given gifts to men. Because it's oral, so we don't need to be concerned about it very much. I know what some of you are thinking, yeah, whatever, who cares? Just in case you cannot go to sleep because there's a two conflict there. But seriously, what does it mean in verse 9 and 10? Back to Ephesians. Does it mean that Jesus descended to somewhere in the lower part of the earth before he ascended to heaven? Does it mean, what does it mean that they led captivity captive in Psalm 68? For your inquiring mind, here is an explanation. If you use cross-reference Bible or the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, everybody should have one of those. If you don't, you can download it from the internet. And you can use the internet and getting a lot of Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. That's where I got a lot of this cross-reference Bibles. As a matter of fact, this particular study will see a lot of that. It refers to Jesus preaching to the spirits in Hades, I mean death, described in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19 and 4, 6. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 6. Okay, for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are what?
Dead.
Who preached to a dead? Jesus. And they might be judged according to man in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Okay. Where do you think that the spirits of the Abraham, David, Daniel, Isaiah, Elijah, all these good people, that God, those God-fearing, God-believing Old Testament saints were before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? They were in the lower part of the earth. They couldn't be in heaven because they all were in, Jesus was not resurrected. So they were in Hades, also known as a Sheol, waiting for the Messiah to set them free and take them to heaven. And just in case you wonder, prove it. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Luke chapter 16, please. Luke 16, verse 22. This is one of the parables, but I believe that Jesus' parable and the truth, Jesus' parable is the truth, but he kind of inserted the extra things. 16:22. You there?
Yeah.
So it was that beggar, Lazarus, died, was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I'm sure they had a nice burial ceremony. Being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and Lazarus was in his bosom. Then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send the Lazarus that he may dip in the tip of his fingers in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there are a great gulf." If you have a King James Version, it says chasm. I like that sound. "Great gulf fixed so that those who wanted to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Did you notice something? Number one, the rich man can feel the pain. He can talk to Abraham across this great chasm somehow. But he doesn't have a body, yet he's burning. He feels like he is being scorched. Another very, very important thing. They cannot cross to either side. So, here's the point. What Abraham said to the rich man in verse 26, those who reject God while they were alive now were being tormented, but they could not cross from their side to the other, nor could they go from heaven from where they were. In other words, the Catholic theology of purgatory does not exist. It is nothing more than Catholic priests wanted their people to believe so that the family member and the relative could give more money to the Catholic churches as a step of faith for the people, dead people, to go to heaven. It's nothing more than horrible, horrible marketing scheme. I know you think this, if you're from Catholic, and you think that, wow, that's an awful way to say it.
But, perfect way to say it.
Yeah, there's no other way. Mm-hmm. Same garbage as indulgence.
Mm-hmm. It's a money maker.
Yeah, so that's why I said the money marketing scheme. All right, then stop there for a minute. People, I was asked this question. All right, the people who were Abraham, David, all those Old Testament good saints, they were taken to the heaven. What about now? Where are the people who were in the other side of Hades, in torment, like a rich man? They are still there. They are still in torment. How many thousands of years? They are still there. There's no expiration date. And what about the people who died, who received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? Do they go to Hades and sit in the empty place where Abraham, all these other guys in heaven? No. When we die, we go to heaven immediately. And where's the reference? The thief on the cross. And what did Jesus say? You will be with me in paradise 4,000 years from now. Right? Today. And another portion, Ephesians, I believe, absent from the body, and then what? Thank you. When these captives in the captivity of the Hades heard the life-saving message of Jesus Christ, which they already believed in faith, while they were alive on earth, they received Jesus into their heart, and Jesus led them, their spirit, to heaven as he ascended. How long did it take? 3 days. Because Jesus said, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for how long? 3 days and three nights. Mm-hmm. Only when Christ returned to the Father could he send his Spirit and his Spirit's gift to his people. So the ascension then is a central piece of Christianity, as well as the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul took time to explain to us more deeply. If Jesus just died and buried and didn't go anywhere, and his body decayed, we have a dead God. If he died and resurrected, did not ascend, he's not in the place of authority. We will note that. But he died for our sin, resurrected by overcoming death so that we may have hope, and he is sitting at right hand of Father, and he is above all. Are you with me?
Amen.
All right. By the way, Psalm 68 is depicting the glory of God in his goodness to Israel, and it is one of the most beautiful psalms. In 1497, a couple numbers different. Yeah. The Italian reformer, probably I'm going to butcher this guy's name, like many people butchered my name, that dude has been preaching the truth of the Bible against the corrupt Roman Catholic establishment, like a Washington establishment Republican, at the time. It became really pain in the butt and thorn in the flesh to Pope Alexander VI. So they sentenced him to death by fire. And Savonarola and two of his close friends were sentenced to die by fire, and it is said that three of them marched to the plaza in Florence, Italy, and to be burned to death, and they sang song together this very psalm, in psalm of strength and faith in God. I hope that if the time comes to my death, I hope I would have this kind of courage. Now, Jesus in Psalm 69, please, verse 7. Because for your sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face, I have become stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's children. Because the zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproach of those reproach you have fallen on me. I see two things here, two prophecies. By the way, Psalm, this is obviously another messianic psalm. King David was describing his dire situation, prophesying concerning Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, knowing that what's going to happen in the distant future. The Lord bore the reproach for our sake. He allowed the shame to cover his precious face. Remember, and you may wonder, what are you talking about? Remember Roman soldiers punched him? And spit on his face? As he was carrying the cross, do you think of people on the street? And Via Dolorosa? Do you think they just said, oh, you poor thing. Go. A few more feet. No, they were spitting at him. His disciples deserted him. His own brothers and sisters did not believe him. And Jesus had one goal in his mind: bring glory to the Father in heaven. Here is a glimpse of what our Lord Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane, as well as the agonizing time of the cross of the Calvary. Go down to verse 17 of 69, please. Psalm 69, verse 17. And do not hide your face from... Oh, by the way, before we go there, I forgot to mention this. Verse 9. It just skipped all of a sudden. Because your zeal for your house has eaten me up. What does that remind you? Oh. Yes. Remember when he turned merchant table upside down? And threw out all the people with the homemade whip. Okay, I revised. Jesus made whip. Can you imagine if there were that thing is still available, how much it would cost for an auction on eBay? Anyway. Yeah, Smithsonian, exactly. And then later, disciple remember this very portion. The zeal for his house eaten him up. All right. Verse 17. And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. Bless you. My adversary are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, I found none. They also gave me the gall for my food. For my thirst, they gave me a vinegar to drink. Talk about prophecy. Precise prophecy. You remember the time when Jesus was praying to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane? Go to Matthew chapter 26, please. Matthew 26. Verse 37. He took with him the Peter and those sons of Zebedee, sons of thunders, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. I didn't, but I'm going to challenge you to do the word search on that watch. Okay? I bet that it's the same watch, same word, and for the rapture. Watch and pray. It just dawned to me. Watch with me. Verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed and saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Stop there for a minute, please. Some of the charismatic Bible teachers said, do not ask God for his will. They said, tell God what you want. As if we know better than God. What an audacity. Let's continue verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep. Said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, Jesus took his inner circle disciples, John, James, and Peter, to the area not far from where he would pray. He poured out his heart in prayer and came back only to find his disciple doing this. Something what we would do, right? Don't be so holy on me. They didn't have a pity for their master during this difficult time. Now, sin is abruptly changed from the Garden of Gethsemane to the sin of Galilee in verse chapter 27 of Matthew. 27 Matthew, verse 32, please. I'm following this according to Psalm 69, verse 21. Because in 69:21 he said, they also gave me gall for my food and for my thirst they gave me the vinegar to drink. Verse 32. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, which is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with the gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink. Stop there. It was a customary to give a narcotic drink to those who were about to be crucified, because this drink, the narcotic drink, helped to ease the pain, which meant that the man on the cross would last a little longer. Remember Persia, ancient Persia, the one invented the crucifixion. But the Romans perfected the crucifixion. Crucifixion is not to kill a person quickly. Prolong the death as long as this person has a strength. If the person does not have a pain because the gall they take, that person would last longer. Jesus refused to drink because he did the will of God in a full awareness. He took all of that with a full conscience. Verse 25, Psalm 102. We see Jesus in Psalm 102. Of all you laid in the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand, they will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow like a garment, like a cloak you will change them. And they will be changed, but you are what? The same. And your years will have no end. Through John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Remember that portion? And it says that there's nothing that was created was not through Him. and Colossians 1:16 and Ephesians 3:9 and Hebrews 1:2, Holy Spirit made clear to us that this universe is the creation of Jesus. Why Jesus? Now God the Father? It made it clear in all those references. People in this world think that this universe will continue to go on and they will evolve into the higher beings. Problem with that evolution theory and the reincarnation theory are going directly against what? The second law of thermodynamics, which can be simplified as heat transfer from hot to cold. And another way to say it is going from order to chaos. Order to chaos. In other words, eventually, this universe will stop generating heat and will not be organized unless the Creator intervenes. The heaven and earth will may change and perish, but our Lord Jesus Christ is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Yep. Let me say this. Any evolution believers hate sun. Do you know that? Sun. Because they know that it's getting colder. Okay, not from 2,000 degrees to 5 degrees. It's not going to happen in a couple of years. But they know it's getting colder and colder. Small increment at a time. And it's getting colder, and they know that second law of thermodynamics cannot be refused, cannot be denied. Unless there is a... If the calculation is correct, millions, billions, or trillion years later, this universe will be one cold snob. No place to go. No heat. Somebody, I believe it was Einstein, what is cold? It's absence of cold, absence of heat. Darkness is absence of light. That's what this universe will be without God, without God's intervention. It will be dark and cold. In verse 26, Solomon said, it will grow like a garment, grow old like a garment, like a clog. You will change them, but you will be changed. They will be changed. Here's a description of sin that the Lord Jesus is going to make. New heaven and new earth. And it will happen after the second coming of Christ. This is the sequence. Rapture first. Are you with me?
Yes.
Rapture first. 7 years of tribulation. Then second coming of Christ. Then 1,000 years of a millennium. Then followed by sending Satan to a lake of fire. After that, God will make a brand new thing. New Jerusalem will come down. How big? I don't know. I cannot even imagine. You beat me to the punch. Verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in which the heaven will pass away like a great noise, and the element will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the work that are in it and will be burned up.
Return.
Yeah. The person who talked that way in your concept is Chuck Swindoll. As much as I adore and respect and love that guy, he thinks that God will not totally destroy the earth and it will be more like a refurbishing. You mean after 7 years of destruction of this earth, and he's going to start with let's start with that little earth again? No. When he says the new, remember what there's a portion. God make all things
new.
Thank you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Here's an answer for you, Bubble. Now I saw a refurbished heaven and refurbished new earth. It says a new earth and new heaven, for the first heaven is the first earth, what? Adios. And also there is no more sea. If you're a surfer, you're doomed. Fishing, dude, over. Okay, Psalm 110, Jesus in Psalm 110, verse 1. A Psalm of David, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemy your footstool. You guys heard this many times. Go down to verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are the priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 1 was quoted 5 times in the New Testament. Matthew 22:44, Mark 12:36, Luke 20:42, Acts 2:34, Hebrews 1:13, to validate Jesus' claim to be the Messiah. In Matthew 22, Jesus asked the Jewish religious leaders a question regarding the identity of Messiah from Psalm 110, verse 1, that portion that we just read. Pharisees identified and knew that the son of David as the lineage of the Messiah. In Jewish culture, one would never call his offspring descendant Lord. Right? Truly, David is referring to someone greater than himself. If the Christ is merely son of David and as a descendant, as they suppose, David would never call any of his descendants with that title, Lord. All right, with that in mind, I'm going to change the slide. You ready? One, two, three. The scribes and Pharisees who deprived themselves in the deep knowledge of the scripture was slumped because using the written word, Jesus Christ, who is the living word, has beaten them on their own game. You think you know the word of God? Okay, here's the thing. Try to explain that. I don't know. The Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees tried to corner Jesus so that they could come up with an excuse not to believe in him, but Jesus systematically eliminated their lame excuses. So what did they do? Instead of giving up, saying, Uncle, they said, let's kill that dude. All right, Melchizedek. He appeared about 3 times in Genesis chapter 14 and the Psalm here, and then the book of Hebrews. Do you know, Jesus never mentioned him? Jesus never mentioned him. And none of the apostles, except the author of the book of Hebrews, ever mentioned him. So this guy must be some dinky guy who just showed up out of nowhere and disappeared out of nowhere. So what kind of problem is that? Obviously, Melchizedek is not going to win the popularity contest amongst the biblical character. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7, please. Hebrews 7, verse 1. We studied this quite in depth, so you guys know this well. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, I want you to note those things, okay? Number one, Melchizedek. Number two, king of Salem. And the priest of, number three, king of the Most High God, and met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of part of all, tithing, and being translated king of righteousness, also the king of Salem means the king of peace. Without the father, there's another one. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. And here's another one. Made like the Son of God and remain priest. Continue. There's the last one. We find a very impressive credential of the Melchizedek here. Let's list them again, as I mentioned. Number one. The name Melchizedek means the king of righteousness. Do you know any human who is righteous in the sight of God? No one. And the king of Salem, also known as Jerusalem, it means king of peace. Thirdly, priest of the Most High God. Fourthly, without daddy, without mama, without genealogy, having neither beginning of the days nor end of life. Fifthly, made like the Son of God. Last one, remain a priest continually. In Book of Hebrews, you guys remember when the author was describing Jesus as a not just high priest. He said chief high priest, right? Okay, that brings another thing. By reading this resume, Melchizedek is not average Joe Schumach. Would you agree? Since he is a Jew, he's got to add a Schumach, right? We study about this man rather than in depth in verse chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews. But I'm not going to dogmatic about this person, the Melchizedek, is Jesus. I don't have a concrete evidence other than what the Bible says. I can guess whether it's a Jesus or the type of Jesus, we don't know for sure, but we can guess. Having descended from the tribe of Judah, who is that? Jesus. Instead of Levi, Jesus was on the outside of a legal heritage of the Old Testament priest. Am I correct?
Yeah.
However, don't you like that word, however? His priesthood was of a completely different order that existed before. Levitical priesthood, before the Levitical priesthood ever existed. Because, and you may say, how do you know it was existed before? Because he was introduced in Genesis chapter 14. Way, way before Moses was alive. He was not even conceived. His parents was not even conceived. In other words, the priestly order of Melchizedek overrides the order of the Levitical priesthood. Am I making sense to you? From the beginning to the end, the Levitical priesthood was based on the law of Moses, and that was given to them to point out the shortcoming of human efforts due to the God's perfect standards and the desperate need of a divine Savior priest without spot or blemish, and could intercede for us for eternity. You know, high priest, before he walked into the Holy of Holies, what did he have to do? He still had to sacrifice an animal for himself. Remember? And if there was any sin found in him, while he was in the Holy of Holies, what happened? God struck him dead, and they had to drag his dead body out. And then they turn around. Okay, next. If you're in the next in line, guess what? You knees knocking. And you desperately asking God to forgive you. So, with that in mind, I can comfortably say Melchizedek is Jesus. All right, if you disagree, that's okay. You're entitled to be wrong.